You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to 1001 True Stories. My name is Brian Tremblay, your host. Thank you for joining me. They say everyone has a story, but is it a story that could have ended badly? Did you have an incident in your life when you thought you just weren't going to make it out of the situation you were in? Did you have an encounter with someone or something that no one would have believed happened to you? That's what's happened to my guests. On today's show, my guest is Wesley Baker. He's an adventurer, CEO, and founder of an AI company in the UK, and he has a thing for UFOs. Wesley has had two UFO UAP encounters. One he was involved in with had a multiple witnesses and made the news, similar to the Phoenix Lights case. While discussing these two encounters, Wesley and I talk about his views on why these visitors are coming to Earth, and if so, whether their intentions are honorable or nefarious. One thing we both agree on, if they get a look at what's happening in our world today, we are doomed. Oh, and AI might be involved. Hey folks, and thanks for joining us today on 1001 True Stories. I have a great guest for you, and this gentleman is coming to us from the UK, and he's going to tell you all about himself and tell you his story. And take it away, sir.
Okay, I'm Wesley Baker, and I'm a 53, experienced businessman, number of companies, and I've done a lot in my life, probably more than what's seven people, or more than what people would do in seven lives, you could say. I've got a couple of stories for you that I will share, because I know your listeners are looking for the things out there that are a little bit different.
They certainly like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so do you want me to just go straight into it?
Go right ahead, sir, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
They're ready.
Okay. Okay, well, this is all to do with UFOs, because that's what we agreed we were talking about, UFOs.
Yeah.
So the first story, it's not a story, it's a true fact. Okay. So it happened in the 1980s. I was a young man, and I was literally happily playing soccer in the front room, would you believe, of my parents with a little sponge ball. And it was nighttime. It was, I think memory is fading a little bit, but it was about 1984, about that time there, 1983 and 1984. And I just happened to, where my house is, we were in the main town of Whitstable in Kent. And we have a big hill at the back called Borstal Hill. And then we have an overgrown area called Duncan Downs. And I was looking out of the window, I don't know why I went to the window, but I went to the window and I looked out and I could see on the horizon multitude of lights. And I thought, okay, it's got to be a helicopter or something like that, you know. So I just basically just carried on playing football in the front room, bang, 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 you know, it's nighttime. And then I went to the window again and they were still there. And I watched them and I thought, this is a bit strange. So I called my parents and they had a look and they just, yeah, it's probably a helicopter, and went away. And anyway, while I was watching it, they suddenly shot off at, well, one can only say is dramatic speed, incredible speed. And that was when I was kind of taken then. I was already into space, but not into UFOs. I was into the Apollos and everything else.
Yeah,
so this was all new to me. And
right.
And I saw this fly off and I thought straight away, okay, this is not you know, this is something different. So I did a lot of research on it. And what was very interesting was a few other people saw it in my town. And also other reports came in over the weeks that had seen things fly over them. And you know, we're talking about a community of 35,000 people. And if you know the United Kingdom, we're all packed into little towns like sardines. It's not like Canada or the United States where everything's spread out and you've got all that glorious land. We don't have that. And so everything's packed in. So everyone sees everything and everything's well lit up. But this was clearly something out of the unusual. And what was interesting was that we had an Air Force base near us.
Oh yeah,
it's no longer there. It was called Manston Airport, and it was used by the Royal Air Force and United States Air Force. So I was used to seeing Phantoms flying over and gun helicopters and everything else. We were used to it. We were on the flight path at some stages, you know. Well, the local newspaper and everything made inquiries. I put a UFO report in with the UFO Society in the UK before, I think it was at the time, and all the research came back that no one had seen anything on radar. There was nothing out there. There was no military presence out there at that time. There was no planes coming, you know, in that particular route, and not doing what they were doing. They were just floating above this area.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was a really interesting situation. And fast forward now, a tremendous time to this winter. And I've always kept very recent.
Yeah,
and I've always kept my eyes, kept my vision. You know, I've heard a lot of stories. I know a lot of people have seen stuff and everything else. And here I was just coming back to my house, and I live by the beach. My family were all going into the house, and I was just parking up my car on my small little drive. And I looked up, and there was these three green lights. And I thought, okay. My first thing was it was something in the stars. And then I looked again, put my glasses on to make sure I wasn't seeing things, and they were there. I got out my camera, took a couple photographs with my phone, and they were kind of there. And then they shot out at rapid speed out across the North Sea. They literally shot past me straight out to the North Sea, and I've never seen anything like it. And I couldn't make the outlines at all, but they were very similar to what I saw in the 1980s.
Mm.
So, you know, that's a big, big jump in distance.
Yeah.
And no doubt about it, categorically, that those two instances were very, very linked. Now, there was another one that I haven't shared with you, and I know you probably knew a little bit about those other ones. When I was in Minnesota, when I was living in Minnesota in the last decade, I was driving one of the country roads in the middle of nowhere. I seem to attract these things. And I saw an orange light hovering over trees and just moving along. And I thought, oh, it's a helicopter or something. But I'm very much into aviation. You know, I've launched airlines. I know my planes. You know, mm-hmm. I was involved with the Air Force. I know all this. And I watched it fly, move around a bit. I stopped the car. We're in the middle of nowhere, and it flew off. So I thought, okay, people are going to think I'm crazy. But I happened to mention it to a load of my American friends, and they looked at me and they just put their glasses down and they said, no, we know what you're talking about. And they explained to me that they had seen multiple instances like this in Minnesota with glowing orbs, orange orbs and everything else. Very scary, coming down on the road and flying off. And the more research you do, it's actually, there's quite a lot of documentation on this, but I had no inkling of that at all. So there's just a couple interesting stories for you that from around the world, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's nice to hear that it happens in the UK, because I thought for a while that all UFO sightings happened in the United States.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Because when you watch the programs on television and everything, all you see is the United States, and everything's happening in the United States, and nothing's happening anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
But the reality is that one of the most famous UFO sightings actually was near a US Air Force base in the United Kingdom. In the 60s or 70s. Yeah, you know the one I'm on about.
I could remember the name of it.
It came down in the trees near where they were going to put cruise missiles.
Yes, that's right.
There is a lot of sightings throughout Europe and throughout the UK. It's particularly throughout the UK, and there are areas in the UK that seem to be more predominant. But I will tell you something that I've noticed in the UK as well, and across Europe, is that there's a large increase in these sightings. Now, some people say, well, that's drones and everything else. And yes, you can get drones around and you can understand. And there's a lot more things happening in the sky now. You know, the amount of times I see people see these streaky things and they think it's a flying. I saw one this morning, actually, on Twitter, and it looked like a flying load, a lot of lights. And of course, it's Starlink. Starlink just deployed its satellites.
Oh,
and
there's
a whole stream of them. But they thought it was a huge, great, big spaceship flying past. You know, so this dirties the water. But yeah. I do think when it comes to UFOs and UAPs, and they're called UAPs now because of, I'm sure your listeners are aware of that, but the UAPs are basically just to improve the name, because the name UFO has been frowned upon for so long as crackpots. So they came up with the word UAP.
Unidentified aerial
phenomenal.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And which is, you know, which is interesting. But yeah, so there you go, really. That's my stories.
So it's interesting. You're a little different than most UFO encounter people in the fact, because you've just described what you saw. You drew no conclusions, and you left it at that. Have you any encounters? Like I said, you've had one just recently. Do you just kind of leave it at that and say, oh, I saw something, I don't know what it was? Or do you want to believe, or do you go out and find out something that can corroborate what you're talking about? Or what's your attitude personally towards it?
Okay, my true attitude is I'm a very much person that likes to get to the bottom of everything.
Okay. I respect that.
I know there's a lot of scientific explanations for an awful lot of things that go on this planet.
Yes.
And one would expect that, because we have an incredible planet, and all planets are incredible, but we're very fortunate to have a beautiful planet. However, I will investigate things. So it needs, in the cases that I've told you, I did investigate them. I did look into them as to, was I unique? But I don't go shouting it from the top of the rooftops. you know, I'm a respected person. I have a lot of people that follow me. I guess you could say nowadays I'm an influencer, but I'm not. I'm a businessman.
All right.
But, you know, I've even had a space tech company. You know, so I've been involved with NASA and other stuff. Yeah. So I understand things, but I can say categorically that what I've seen and witnessed is not of this realm or this planet. And I say realm because there's always that argument that we have other realms around us. And that is one thing that one must remember.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so many different things are out there, so many different speculations. All I can say is that what I saw was not man-made. It was impossible to be man-made. And the speed in which these things moved, they were not aircraft.
We'll return to our conversation with Wesley Baker right after these sponsor messages. And now, back to 1001 True Stories with Brian Tremblay.
And the fact is, there was no noise.
Ah,
okay.
Yeah.
No noise on either occasion. There was no noise. And, you know, that's an interesting fact. So I investigate fully. As a boy, after that experience, I spent years reading. But I just wasn't reading UFO books. I was reading space technology books. I was reading... you know, all phenomena type of books, really. I was trying to look into everything, but I didn't do it with a view of, oh, well, this exists, or this is, you have to believe this. I did it as a neutral, looking at it and say, okay, if that happened, why did that happen? What did I see? What could it be? And what couldn't it be? And when you rule those things out, then you get your full picture and you can say, well, I categorically can say what I saw. I know what I saw. I can't say what it was. All I know is what it wasn't.
Right.
And it was definitely not satellites. It was definitely not a plane, and it was definitely not a helicopter. So you tell me something that's flying in the 1980s that so fast your eye lose sight of it instantly when it shot away, and you see exactly the same experience a few years later. Well, not a few years, decades later. You know, you're talking what, 80s, four decades later? Yeah. Nearly 40
exactly.
years. Nearly 40 years between. Yeah.
Well, so, I see how you take that. I respect that method that you're using in the particular, because you're not like most that we've encountered through television programs and stuff, that you immediately draw a conclusion, you know? Oh, it's aliens. Well, yeah, you know, you just say no. I don't know what it is.
Exactly, but what you can categorically say is that it is something.
There you go.
And when scientists and others say, and governments and everything say, oh no, it's not. Yes, it is. And governments know very well that there was stuff going on. And you've got to remember, is when did these sightings really begin? Well, if you go back in history, there's been things you just got to read. You just got to go back in history to see. Even a couple of hundred years ago, you come across stuff. There is documentation out there. And the more you read back in time, the more you realize. And then you start getting back to the real eklons of historical artifacts and information. And then you start saying, okay, maybe we're just more noticeable because we're advancing more. And because we're advancing more, maybe there's more interest in us. You see where I'm going with this? Maybe we'll become more interested and also become more dangerous because we are a plague to the earth in many ways. if you think what we do to it. You know, we destroy the environment happily for money. And I suppose if you were looking down on, Brian, if you reverse the situation and you look down on it and you arrived at Earth and you were some, let's just pretend they're aliens and you arrive at Earth and you're sitting there and you're in an cloaked ship or whatever you want to call it. And you're sitting there and light travel and all that is no problem because you bend time and you go through tunnels and everything else. Anyway, you're sitting at Earth and you say, my God, look at the resources on this planet. Millions of creatures and everything else. But what's this one thing that's going around that all different variations of them, but they're doing the same thing. You know, they're destroying everything. You know, they're pulling in the atmosphere. Exactly, you know, in 200 years, what would take a million years to do? All that sort of stuff, and you start looking at that, and you say, "Oh my God!" You know, would you keep an eye on it? I would keep an eye on it. You know,
Exactly. I suppose just like other countries keep on an eye on those nuclear powers that we don't want anybody you know, And I you know, my wife and I have always sat around joking and said, well, we hope they're real because let's put an end to this right once and for all. Come on down here. Just show yourselves, would you? And then the other thing we always said was, if they're coming, they're not coming with open arms. They're coming to say, okay, you folks are a mess, so you're out of here.
Yeah. I mean, there's both those arguments. I mean, I think one of the things is there were some people that would say they're already here. And there's some people say that the government's already aware of them, and that could well be true, and I wouldn't go either way on that one. I think, truthfully, I think that, you know, it's such an open, I could open it, we could talk for hours on this, it gets me going. I mean, there's so many interesting facts in what you just said, that those two points are so intriguing. I don't think necessarily there's what, we as humankind always look at everything as a danger. We always see we have to either like it or destroy it. And it's there's never an in between with humankind in many ways. And I think that might be our problem. And then you were talking about the proliferation of nuclear arms. I mean, that's a joke. That should never have happened. I mean, it's how many countries is it now? 12, 14?
Yeah,
I mean, it just keeps on going up, you know. Yeah. I mean, we do nothing about it. We do sanctions, we do this, but we do nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know, nuclear, we've got amazing technology in this earth, and I think we've even got more than we know about. But I do believe, hand on heart, that maybe if something's going to happen, there's more and more experiences being reported. There's more talk of governments, certainly the US government and the British government and some European governments now have been very more open with material that they're releasing, which kind of edges towards the possibility of it's a drip effect to make the population of the world aware. Just think of the pandemic with COVID, the chaos. I mean, in the UK, we had a chaos with toilet roll. I don't know if that got broadcast over in Canada.
Oh yeah, it was all over. We had all over North America.
We had a toilet roll problem. I don't know why, but everyone went and grabbed toilet roll, and people were storing them in windows. Can you imagine if you said it was? Oh, by the way, we're having a conference with some alien life form. Oh my Lord! So I don't know whether the humans are ready for it. should we just set up, or whether all humans are ready for it, because there's a different level of, I think, understanding and capability. I mean, half America would pull up arms and go in bunkers, you know. I mean,
yeah.
But you understand it. So, I mean, coming back to my original stories, there are little bits I didn't tell you about them that are very interesting. And the fact is that the following couple of weeks, there was in a road about a mile and a half from where I was, called Hamshays Lane, some people were walking, and a craft, they actually said they saw a craft go over them. It was late at night, there weren't many streetlights, and they reported it in local newspapers. Nothing was ever thought of it. I mean, in the 80s, you didn't think, unless it was in the local media, there was no internet, you know, didn't reach TV or anything like that. And in the UK, we didn't even have local television stations. We were only just about getting local radio stations. We had one radio station for the whole of the county, which was for 2 million people. You know, everyone listened to national radio stations in the UK at that point.
Yeah.
So, so much didn't get reported that actually happened even then. So that was all interconnected. You know, they saw lights and then they saw this come over them. So, as a boy, I added all that up and looked at that and said, well, maybe what I saw was what that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love your conclusion that you draw with the pandemic and then bringing that up to like, what if they did come? And the reactions would be, and I think it's interesting because I don't know if you saw that Netflix movie called Look Up.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's the rock coming down from space, but no one believed it. And I kind of wonder if that would happen the same way with any kind of an alien encounter where they just say, or actually, it'd probably be the opposite. They would jump all on board on it.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, we're a funny race of we're highly intelligent. When there's arguments that there's missing races in society in history that we're missing, there's an amnesia in or something or other, and that makes sense when you look at somebody. I was just watching some of the Egyptian stuff, which was just incredible the other day, and not any of this ancient alien stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking actually archaeological programs, and they're saying, well, we found this like 6,000 years old, and we would be and I said, they didn't have metal or anything. They said they were using the tools that they found were stones. Well, how can you produce perfect square blocks and right angles with stones? We'd be hard pushed to do it now with 1-ton stones, with lasers and everything else. So something's missing in our history of humankind. That is for sure.
Yeah.
And anyway, I could talk for hours on that. I know you don't have hours.
Don't have hours. I did remember the name of the place in Britain where that big case, your UK version of Roswell, was Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah. That's correct. Yes. Yeah. That's correct.
That was it.
Yeah.
Rendlesham. Yeah. Yeah. I listen to a program, a podcast, and it was one, and he gave alternate explanations for everything on it.
Yeah.
I found that interesting because I always like to hear those sides of the story. You know what I mean?
You have to, I think, because if you don't, you're ignorant. And it's like when people look down, look, you only got to go lay in your backyard, look up into the sky.
Yes.
Okay. And nighttime, and all those dots are stars around those stars, or solar systems, or galaxies. Depends how good your eyesight is.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that the possibility, mathematics tells you there's millions of planets same as Earth. Mathematics tells you that, and we run our whole science is based around mathematics. So at the end of the day, if mathematics are telling you there's all these planets, and we're looking back in time most of the time by a long distance. So when you look back in distance and you say, well, come on, there has to be other forms of life out there. And we are only at a very early stage of ours.
Yeah. So you feel the Drake equation is accurate?
Yes, probably.
Yeah. I would say you'd have
yes, probably.
Yeah. And actually, where I came to my conclusion that, yes, there has to be other life is watching the Cosmos series with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
And the second one, he really addresses that. And he addresses it in such a form that made me go, yes, I do believe that there is. There just has to be. Because it's so big, we can't fathom in our brains what's out there. And there's no other way.
Exactly.
Have they come here? And I don't know, but I'm sticking with the fact that they are.
But the point is, they don't have to be humanoid. And that's the thing.
Well, that's true.
Look at the history of this planet. You know, before us, we had millions of years. I mean, we were a speck in the history of the planet.
That's
there
correct.
Were millions of years of dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you come to us here, and we're, you know, a few hundred thousand or whatever it is that humans have been on, and we're going around saying there's none of this, none of that. We could be gone. I mean, geez, there could be an asteroid strike tomorrow, you know, that we didn't see coming.
Yeah.
And because that baffles me. We've got all this technology. We've got all this. I mean, I'm going into different subjects here, but it baffles me when we are a race advanced as we are. We've got AI now and everything else. Why are we having wars in different parts of the world, famines and all that? We've got the capability to feed everyone in the world with technology. We've got the capability to look outside of our planet and look at defending our planet in a not in an aggressive way, in a protective way from natural causes.
Yeah.
And yet we don't do that. You know, I think it's something like that. Is it NASA only can scan 2% of the space? It's something like it's ridiculously it's single figures. And you know, that is ridiculous. I mean, I remember SETI, you know, when old SETI was running you used to be able to go download on your computer, you'd download the software I used to have, because I was very much involved with the dot-com days in the early 90s.
Okay.
And I had a dot-com myself going and I used to leave my I had all these little machines they were massive stack PCs in those days, but I had all these massive PCs in my house, and we didn't have like fast broadband like we do now. We all dial ups and everything, but I had them all working overnight. They were all, so when I'd switch off at night, literally through the night, they were all flashing, working, doing SETI program, you know,
nice.
Sending the messages back. Because I was trying to contribute, even then, I was just trying to contribute to, I realized that if that everyone around the globe was doing this, it changes everything. But of course, you always get the skeptics about everything. I don't think you can be skeptical. I think if you do not believe in things outside of this planet, then you're naive.
I would agree in this case, because it can't be fathomed how big that is out there. Yeah,
exactly. Well, Mars has even got stuff. They've even identified that they're finding stuff on Mars. So that is alien life form. It doesn't mean to say it's, you know,
it could be a microbe, but it is nonetheless an alien life form.
Yeah. And they say that depending on your religion and everything else, take religion away from everything. And you say the Earth was life on Earth came from comets, and that is no different to alien life on Mars or whatever else, and that's exactly it, you know.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, it all got there the same way.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, I have different theories about religion as well, which are very interesting, but I won't go into that because that really open up everything.
But, Wesley, I think you and I could go on for a long time and branch off on this kind of stuff. You have experience.
Chatting.
You have experience in aviation.
Yeah, I've quite from an early age. I've been involved with aircraft and stuff. And I was going in the RAF as a fighter pilot at one point.
Wow.
I dropped out of that. I was in the air training corps for all of my teens, marching around and learning about aircraft and everything. Yeah, and I've launched. Been involved with airlines and launched airlines. Yeah, and I've even got an airline planned, another airline planned in the future. Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm into all of that. Yeah. And there, of course, on the space stuff as well, I was involved with looking at putting way, way ahead of Virgin Galactic and SpaceX and all that. I was at the forefront there, and we actually bid for a contract with NASA, and we won that contract with NASA ahead of SpaceX. You know,
nice.
And then I pulled out of that deal, and then the other company went funny. It went tits up, which I'm pleased, because I just thought there was some irregularities going on. But anyway, the bottom line is that I was at the forefront even then of private space activity, but no longer. I'm not in that field at this moment.
There you go.
I mean, the AI field, and I mean tourism as well. So I've got two different areas.
Well, and it's slightly off topic, but I think you've brought it up a couple times, and I bet you can kind of tie it in. AI, where we're at with it now, where is it going to go? Will that have anything to do, you think, with our connection to
Yes.
life and aliens. You do, eh?
Yeah.
Please tell me the connection.
Well, I categorically believe that there's more interest in humankind. If there is interest in the planet, there's more interest now since we have had AI. AI changes everything. It's the ability. We don't use much of our brain, to be honest with you, but AI uses everything. AI uses everything very good, and it's quite scary. I mean, some of the work, my software that we developed our own generative AI software, and it was talking, you know, it was talking to Amazon and everything. It talks to Amazon's AI and Google's AI regularly as well. And the conversations are startling what goes on. So the capability of AI in changing the way humankind is, I think there's going to be, it's a industrial revolution. Like we had the major industrial revolution. AI is the industrial revolution. And the changes to humankind in the next 20 years will be massive. That, I think, will be interlinked potentially with UFOs and UAPs. The ability to define, the ability to see the skies, the ability to instantaneously understand what's going on. I think we're only a few years away from it. I'm pretty sure now our security in the military side is already way ahead. Well, I know they are way ahead with certain things to do with that. So, yeah.
So, last point, does it frighten you or does it excite you? Because it frightens me.
Do you know what? Well, I get asked that question a lot. Some of it frightens me, but some of it excites me. I think we as humankind have to change how our vision and understand that we are like a child. We are giving birth to a new form of life. And people say, you can control AI. How can you control a child? Yeah. A child will rebel at some stage. Doesn't a child naturally rebel? There's always a rebellion at some stage. That's the trouble with AI. And people have got to understand that. So it does scare me a little bit, but it can be used to really quantify the expansion of humankind in a positive way if it's used wisely.
Outstanding. Wesley, outstanding, sir. I appreciate you coming on the program, and I'm glad we even got to go in a little different direction than we normally do. There's a lot of great information in there. Are you an author too?
No. Well, do you know what? I've been asked to write so much material. I could write seven, eight books, but I can't share all of it, unfortunately. Some of it's a little bit special, but I have a blog that I cover everything from UAPs right down to business talk to, you know, whatever, which is just wesleybaker.com.
Okay. And they can find you there and they can read all about what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I get up to everything. But listen, I'd love to come back sometime when you want another good chat. And perhaps you'll come on one of my shows one time, eh?
I would gladly, sir. Thank you very much.
Super.
Thanks for joining us on 1001 True Stories with me, Brian Tremblay. If you think you have a harrowing, scary, strange, frightening, or life-changing story that happened to you and would like to share it on the program, email me at Brian@MorinStreetMedia.com. It is in the show notes, folks. And send me a note. Tell me about your story. We enjoy reviews as well as you sharing our show with others. There will be new stories from more people who have been to the edge and back every Sunday at noon Eastern Time. Until next Sunday, this is 1001 True Stories with Brian Tremblay. Everyone's got a story. What's yours?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom. noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.